Oh, it's been, yes, it's good. So then we have to begin giving Shevach Vaidah to the Rebbein Yisraelim. Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu l'azman hazeh. That every single one of us have a schus to be in the yeshiva, start a new year in the yeshiva learning. It's something we can't take lightly. First of all, after Corona, we all learned yeshivas do close down, unfortunately. And Rachman al-Atzlan, we weren't zaycha for a tekufa to have a yeshiva. So Corona definitely taught us to appreciate what it means to be in a yeshiva. But even put aside what Corona taught us, just in a general sense, I mean, you look around the world, there's 7.8 billion people in the world. The whole world is created for Torah. The Pasuk says so. Bereishis, b'shvil Torah shenikra'eishis. So the world was created for Torah. How many people from the 7.8 billion people are sitting and learning Torah and create and doing what the Rebbeinu Shalom had in mind for the tachlis of the world? It's not even a percentage. So you have to realize that it's a gevaldik schus that every single one of you have, that it's literally like you say in your brachas, Asher bachar banu, Rebbeinu Shalom chose you. He literally chose you, that he gave you the schus with siyata d'shamaya. Who knows why you were zeicha, which great grandparent or whatever schus you might have, that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave you that opportunity to be in the yeshiva. You have to realize it's a emissar schus to be part of those few that are being the kind of Rebbeinu Shalom's rotz and the tachlis of this world. But the emissar is even more so the haidah that we have to give. You know, after coming from a Bein HaZmanim, I've been at a yeshiva for 5 weeks. You probably know even better than me. The world out there is such a marvel. The society that what's going on, and even, you know, the Goyish world for sure, and even it creeps into the Jewish world, there's a tremendous decline in all morality, in anything, in the truth, in decency, in all the simplicity of things that were, you know, that were simple things in the earlier generations. Today, I mean, we could say we're literally dropping to the Mentes Shari Tuma. That's what's going out there in the marble of the world. And the Mela, since there's no standards of keeping anything, we have to realize what a schus it is that we're in the teva, that we're able to protect ourselves from being out there in the marble. And it's something we have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's such a schus to be in a yeshiva and not have to be out there with what's going on in the world that you saw for yourself over Ben Hazmanim over the summer, what there is out there. So Baruch Hashem, it's an extra haidah that you have to give the Rebbeinu Shalom, that he's saving you, that you're in a teva to survive the storm out there, that marble that's going on. And the emes is, I'll tell you something I recently saw from Anas and Svi Finkel Zatzal, the Miri Rosh Hashiva. I don't know if anybody here knew Rav Nosson Svi Finkel or not. You're probably very young by the time he was Nifter. The Miri Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, he never had Parkinson's. He used to always shake. I'm telling you, I remember him when he came to Lakewood to give a shiur once, and he was standing in front of BMG, in front of the whole base measures. He was holding his arms like this. He was Moisa Nefesh Vatayar, but if he didn't hold his arms down, his hands would be flying. Rahman al-Tlan, what he endured, this Yisurim. He probably had no control over his whole body. And yet he was so Moisa Nefesh Vatayar, he'd come and give a shiur for 45 minutes, holding himself down, like shaking like this, back and forth, swaying. It was unbelievable to see. And he gave a Moritik Ashir. It's unbelievable who he was. HaKalpada Rav Nosson Svi Finkel, the Miri Rosh Hashiva, he one time, he, you know, used to give an Erev Shabbos drasha. And that drasha was unique. He used to speak in English. At the end of the day, he was born in Chicago. He was an American. And although everything else he gave was in Yiddish, but Erev Shabbos he gave a shmooze in English. And he used to talk, you know, very much. He didn't prepare for it. He used to talk what's on his heart. You know, I'm a shmooze with the Bachram Kil. And one Erev Shabbos, what he said was, you know, there was something I needed Eitza on. So I went to visit Rav Elyashiv to ask him and discuss this with him. So I went into, they let me into Rav Elyashiv, and I went into Rav Elyashiv's room, and Rav Elyashiv didn't notice me. I was standing there, they let me in, and he was sitting there learning, he didn't notice me, so I didn't disturb him. I let Rav Elyashiv finish up first. And it was amazing to see and listen to Rav Elyashiv, he said. He said, Rav Elyashiv, I'll imitate you, he said, what Rav Elyashiv, how he's learning. I heard him say, Omar Abaya. And he started quoting, Abaya said, let's say, whatever it was in the Gemara. And he spoke out to himself, oh, vos zok du Rava, so what is Rava, how do you respond? And he was having a whole conversation with himself, Rav Elyashiv, back and forth, Abaya, so what do you say to Rava's taina? Oh, Rava, now what do you say to Abaya's taina? And he was having a whole conversation with himself. And like he was absorbed in his own world. He didn't even notice me, that I was standing right there. And it was some time later that first he noticed me. Said Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, what we see is that when a person opens up his Gemara, when you dive into the Gemara and dive into the Sugya, you're taken away to a whole different world. You're like removed from this physical world and you enter a whole new world. This is what we're discussing, how a person has to realize the schus to be in a yeshiva, how you can be swept away from the whole physical world and you enter a whole new olam hatayra that you're zeicha to when you're in a yeshiva. And this is the haidah that we have to give the Rabbeinu Shalom for this schus. I just want to add one more point in the haidah that we have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for this schus that we're here. You know, when you come to a yeshiva, besides being protected from the outside world, you're zeicha in a yeshiva to get a Rebbe for life. And you have to realize what that's worth. You know, my Rebbe, Rav Meir Stern Shlita, I learned to say yeshiva for 3 years. Till today, I have a shaykhus with him, I keep up with him. When I was your age, I didn't even realize what it means to get a Rebbe. I just learned by Rav Meir Stern. I didn't realize what a schus it is to go ahead and get a Rebbe. And we have to realize, coming to yeshiva, yuzaycha, there's so many rabbeim here in yeshiva, yuzaycha to get yourself a Rebbe for life. It's a whole, something we can't take lightly. You know, the famous Gemara in Makkos, many of you might have learned it. The Gemara says, when someone goes ahead in the din of killing the Shogeg, you have to go to Golos. So the Gemara over there in Daf Yud in Makkos says, Talmud Shagola, a Talmud that Rachman Lutzal killed B'Shegin has to go to Golos. Migalin Rabbi Imam. We send his Rebbe with him to Golos. And why is that? Shenema V'chai. The Pasuk is V'chai. Ovid Lei Midi Dahavi Lei Chiyusa. We have to make sure he has life. And therefore, if the Talmud has to go to Golos because he killed B'Shegin, we send his Rebbe with him because he has to live. He needs life. He's not going to have life if he doesn't have his Rebbe. And the Rambam that brings us down la halacha in Hilchos Ritzayach and Perek Zayin, the Rambam writes, Talmud shegola la'ori miklot, a Talmud that goes to Golos, migalin rabo imoi, the Rebbe has to go with him to Golos, shenem avachai, asei loy kedei sheyichya, make sure you set him up a way that he's able to live. Says the Rambam, v'chaye balei chochmo mvaksheho, the life of any Balei Chochma, Umvaksheh, the people of Umvaksheh Hashem, the life of these people, Beloy Talmud, without being able to learn, and they need a Rebbe to learn, Kemisa Chashuv, it's like they're dead. Their Rebbe gives them life, and then we send them to Golos with them. We have to realize the schus that we have when you're in your yeshiva, that you can acquire a Rebbe, which is chiyus, it's life. In this dark Olam Hazeh that we live in, like Chazal say, it's doima techoyshech, it's a darkness. We don't know our right foot from our left foot. We don't know what's right, what's wrong. We don't know anything. And a Rebbe could go ahead and give you guidance. And he's miyayitz you throughout, guiding you to the derech Hashem. It's worth everything in the world. It's mamash chiyus, it's life. And that's something we have to give the Rabbeinu Shalom Haidah for also. To get zeichet to get a Rebbe. You know, I just heard recently on Muridik Amaisa that gave me a new appreciation to this point. I heard this over from Ephraim Waxman, Shlita. Ephraim Waxman said over this Maisa. It happened with his own father. His father was a Holocaust survivor. And his father told him over that when he was a little boy in the shtetl that he lived in. So his father, which means referring back to his grandfather, was the Rav of the town. And he lived in the shtetl. And one day on Shabbos, all of a sudden there was a major knock on the door. Someone came in frantic to his father's house, to the Rav. And his father, referring back to his grandfather, opened the door. And he said he told the Rav, he said, his name is Yankel. Yankel opened his store on Shabbos. Maybe Mamash Michal Shabbos. He was all frantic. And the Rav couldn't believe it. Yankel opened his store on Shabbos. So he said, Yashkarich, he sent him away. And the Rav told his son, which was referring back to his father, he said, come with me. Let's go to the place where the marketplace was to see what's going on. And he said, I was a little boy, I walked with my father there, and sure enough, we come there, and Yankel had a store. How much had a store open on Shabbos? So he said, my father told me, he said, he's saying over the story, he said, my father didn't want to walk into the store on Shabbos. So he sent me in. He said, go tell the store and I want to talk to him. Next door right there, he lived. He said, I went into the store, he said, as a young boy, I went into the store and told the store owner that my father, the Rav, wants to speak with you. He couldn't believe the Rav's here, so the store owner came out and invited him into his house. He lived right next door. And the Rav sat down by the table and he started crying hysterically. He was just crying, he was bawling tears streaming down his face. And the Yankel didn't know what happened. Like, he saw the Rav so hysterical. He says to the Rav, is everything okay? What's the matter? So the Rav tells Yankel, he says, what type of Rav am I? How can I be a leader? How can I be the Rav over here? I have someone in my community that must have been suffering so bad from his parnasa that he had no choice but to open his store on Shabbos. What type of Rav am I? I didn't know what he was going through. I didn't understand the situation. And he had no choice. He had to open his store. And Yankel, who's listening to the Rav, broke down crying. And he said, Rav, I promise you, that's exactly my situation. I would never want to open my store on Shabbos. Of course I want to be shame to Shabbos, but I had no choice. I have no food on my table to feed my children. So I had no choice but to open my store on Shabbos. And they're both crying together. The Rav then tells Yankel, okay, we're going to figure out a solution to your situation. But you should know that the solution for sure is not to have a store open on Shabbos. Because Chazal tells us any money you make on Shabbos, you're not going to see any siman bracha from. So that's definitely not the solution for this problem. But I'm going to take your problem personally, and I'm going to solve it and have a solution for your problem. And sure enough, of course, Yankel closed his store and the Rav took it on his shoulders to take care of the panasa issue that Yankel was going through. What I took out from this story that I heard from Ephraim Waxman is a meiridika level of responsibility that a Rebbe has to a Talmud. That the responsibility of a Rebbe to a Talmud is so personal. Like this Rav in the shtetl, Ephraim Waxman's grandfather, he was broken that he didn't know the personal matzav of this person in this community. He took it so personal. How could I not know what you're going through? And this is the responsibility that a Rebbe has to a Talmud. That obviously this is part of your haidah that you have to give. That Baruch Hashem Yezeicha to Rabbeim when you come to yeshiva. But it raises the bar when I heard this ma'isa of what it means to really understand and know the situation of what every Talmud's going through. It gave me a whole new perspective of what we're talking about. I'd like to begin. We all know Chazal tell us, Kol haschol is kashas. The famous words of Chazal, the old beginnings are hard. That's definitely very applicable to our situation right here. We're all starting in a new yeshiva, and we have to realize there's no question about it. Haschalos are kashas. Beginnings are hard. Everybody can find their hardship in different ways. Some people just adjusting to a new yeshiva, adjusting to dorming, they never dormed in life, adjusting to new chaverim, adjusting to a new type of yeshiva, or even in the learning, sometimes adjusting to a new mahalachan learning, or trying to do it on my own, I gotta go through rishonim now and random gemaras or whatever it is. Everybody on their level is gonna find different challenges of haschalos kashas. And it's an adjustment that we're gonna have to make. But we have to realize this is expected. To face the challenges and realize there are hardships on the way, we have to realize it's expected. And all greatness only comes from facing the challenges, facing these hardships. That's expected, and that's the system of steiging and growing. You know, it's the Arachayim HaKadosh in this week's parasha. The Moridik Arachayim HaKadosh. When it talks about Kiseitzi La'Molchama Aloivecha, first pasuk, Kiseitzi La'Molchama Aloivecha, you go to war on your enemy. When the son of Hashem Lekecha B'Yadecha, Hashem places the enemy in your hands, and the whole parasha Yifas Toya. So even though, of course, it means Kipshuta, like the pasuk can bring down, like you'll see when you learn the parasha, but there's also a remez here. It says Arachayim HaKadosh, what the Torah really wanted. Derech remez, he says, Bo HaKosav L'Horu HaAdam. The pasuk is really coming also to awaken a person, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. And it's coming to teach you, Kiseitze La'Molchama means, doesn't mean the physical war of going to battle when Klal Yisrael went to war, but rather, every one of us, our neshamas came down from the Olam Elyon. We all came from Shemayim when we were born. And we came, Lovil Olam Hazeh, we came to this world. The Pasuk's telling you, Yiyah Mucha La Melchama, be ready for war. Which means the Arachayim HaKadosh Medayik, it didn't say, Kiseitze Le Melchama, you go to war. It says La Melchama. Why does it say La Melchama? Because it says you're not actually going to a war. But rather, we're referring to Kiseitze. You came down from Shemayim and Neshama. You came down to this world with a purpose and a tachlis. And you have to realize and be prepared, La Melchama, for war, for battle. What type of war? We don't mean the enemy. This has nothing to do with Russia, Ukraine, or anywhere else. This war that we're talking about is the war with Yetzer Hara. Yemucha La Melchama. Don't think you don't need a lot of power to fight this battle. Oh, if I have to fight Ukraine and Russia, then I need to go ahead and be strong. But this battle, just my Yetzer Hara, that's all it is. Says Archaim Kadosh, no, no, no. This battle is even more difficult than going to war out there in the countries. El Adaraba, Lazu Yikra Muhammad. This is really cool battle. This is really something that needs Gevura Gedoyla. You need a lot of strength to fight this battle. And that's al oivecha, that's your enemy. Yetzahara is your enemy. Every single one of us, we come to a new yeshiva, there's a Yetzahara that's really standing up against us, making a battle. He doesn't want to see you steigen, grow in your ruchnius. He doesn't want to see you go ahead and reach any madrega whatsoever. And he's going to put up a great front of fighting against you. And you have to be strong to fight the battle. You know you're doing the right thing. You have to have clarity in your hashkafa. You have to have clarity in your approach. I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to be successful. And like the Archaim HaKadosh says, that's what the Pasuk says afterwards. Ki seitzel ha-mochama lo'ivecha. The Pasuk says, v'nesonai Hashem alakecha v'yodecha. Hashem is going to give you your enemy in your hands. If you're ready to fight the battle, the Pasuk is mavtichoi. The Pasuk guarantees you, it promises you. Hagam shetakafu ayetza, even though Yetzahara is so strong, mikoyach anush, even more than a human being, afal pi kein yitnei Hashem biyod, Hashem is going to give you in His hands. You're going to go ahead and be able to take the Yetzahara in your palm of your hands and be in control and overcome it and be successful. So we have to realize that we're going to a new zman, a new start, where the kol haschalos are kashos. It's difficult, it's challenging, it's a melchama, it's a war. But if you take the right approach and you're ready to take it head on, you're going to be successful. There's a promise in the Torah, Havtacha, Unasana Hashem Yodecha, that you're going to be successful. I want to read to you a Moiridika letter. The Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Rashiv Chaim Berlin, that he wrote. It's a famous letter, the letter Kuf Chav Ches, that he wrote to a Talmud, that Mamash discusses this point. And it's a Muridika letter. It gives a lot of chizuk to every single bachar who reads such a letter. The letter says like this. Ahuvai Chavivai, he addresses the bachar, doesn't say the name, but Akbarim, my beloved Talmud, he says, Ro chayli hi etzleinu, the terrible disease that we all have. Shekashem is asking onu b'tzdadei ha-shleimus. When we talk about reaching levels of shleimus, shel g'dayleinu, we look at our g'daylin, their shleimus, or anybody else that's a role model for us that reached some level of shleimus. Hinei metaplin b'sika ma'achre shamalosam. We all focus on the final results. Like for example, he says, the Chavetz Chaim. We look at the Chavetz Chaim, he was successful in Shmiras HaLashon, right? He never spoke Lashon Hara. And we think to ourselves, the Chavetz Chaim didn't speak Lashon Hara, yeah, he's the Chavetz Chaim. He says, do you realize how much struggle and fighting the Chavetz Chaim had to do until he reached the Madrega that he had Shmiras HaLashon? We forget about all that. We look at the final result. We look at the Chavetz Chaim. Oh, the Chavetz Chaim never spoke Lashon Hara. That's how we look at him. And we don't realize, he says, Anachnu medalgim, we skip over the ma'avik hapnimi, means the inner battle, shesqil b'nafshon, that he had to do in himself, that he constantly had to fight the Yetzirah until he reached that madrega. Mi yodeya kol ha'molchamos, all the wars that the Chavetz Chaim had to have with his Yetzirah to go ahead and reach that madrega of Shmiras HaLashon. And he says, this example that I'm giving you, Moshel Echad Mini Elef, it's one of 1,000 examples. You could give off 1,000 or a million or a billion examples of different people that if you want to focus on. He says, don't look at the end result. Realize that the end result only came about because they went through all the wars and the battles, all the mechamas they had. They had to fight the Yetzirah too. No one's free from the Yetzirah. And anybody who's greater, called Godol Mechaveir or Yetzir Godol Emeno. If you're greater, you have even a greater Yetzirah. So of course they had tremendous Yetzirah. And they were able to fight the Yetzirah, and that's how they got to the final results. And in Melo he says, Da lecho chavivi. You should know my beloved Talmud. His Talmud obviously was complaining. They don't bring the letter that he wrote to Rav Hutna. But obviously the Talmud was complaining to the Rebbe that I'm not being successful. And I'm in yeshiva, but it's not really happening. It's not working. I'm just failing. And obviously that was the idea of the letter. So Rav Hutna responds here and says that you should know my beloved Talmud. The fact that you're writing such a letter and you have such a bikush to reach out to me and you want to do well, that alone shows how well you're doing, that you're talking fighting wars, you're fighting battles. And that's the first step. You're a fighter. And he says, you're definitely a trustworthy fighter, someone who's fighting a battle. And therefore you should know the English, he says, in English they say, and he writes it in English, lose a battle, win the war. That in English is a saying that you can lose a battle, but you win the war. So even though you might be falling at times, and obviously nothing's perfect, but not perfect doesn't mean you're not going to win the war. You lose some battles, but you're going to win the war. You can talk about being nichshol at times. But I promise you, that if you keep fighting the battle, even if you lose at times the battle, but you're going to win the big war. And that's the yisoid you have to realize. It's a pasuk that says, Sheva yipol tzadik become. A tzadik falls 7 times and stands up. Hatipshim choyshim. The tipush, the silly person thinks that even though he falls 7 times, he still gets up. That's how they read the pasuk. He says, that's a tipush. The chachamim know, he said, that this is the mahalach of shtaygim. Dafka, because you fall, that's how you're going to get up and get stronger, and that's how you're starting to become great. So it's not about that you I wish I didn't have to fall, I didn't have to have challenges. The challenge is what brings you to the greatness. All the hardships, all the difficulties. It's a whole Arichas's letter. I don't think we have time to go through the whole thing. But Akoponim, this is a major yesoy that we have to know, that when we're talking about starting in a new yeshiva, a new matzav, you have to realize that the difficulties, the challenges, the hardships that we're going to face, it's all part of our steiging. That's how we're going to be matzliach, to reach levels of greatness and shleimus. I was at a bar mitzvah last week, and the Rav said a Moira de Kamaisa, which I think it really brings out this point. This Maisa happened with Rav Noach Weinberg, Zatzal, the Rishiv of Eish HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Noach Weinberg, Zatzal, the Zeicha, only Nifter, 10, 15 years ago, he was Zeicha Mamish with Eish HaTorah to change the world in Kiruv. He brought back thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Yidden back to Yiddishkeit. People that didn't even know about their roots. People came from America, from Tennessee, who knows where, didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. They went to the Kaisel just to visit, and he would go ahead and bring them into his yeshiva. And Mamash, he changed their lives, getting them to sit down and learn and hear shiurim and recognize, have emuna and Hashem and all that. Tremendous what he accomplished. Akapanim, the Maisa goes like this. Once, a random guy came into yeshiva, very non-affiliated Jew, and a perfect candidate. He started getting him to come to shiurim and learning, teaching him from scratch everything. And over a couple of months, there was a major transformation in this yid. This bachur mamish started becoming great over just a couple of months' time. It was tremendous, his aliyah. One day, after a couple of months, he knocks on Noach Weinberg's door and he tells Rav Shiva, I have to leave. I'm going back. He came from South America, maybe. I'm going back. I'll tell Rav Shiva, I'm a chess champion and there's a big world tournament that I want to attend that I have to go back for. And Noach Weinberg understood that he goes back. Chances are he's probably not going to come back. I mean, what's the chances of coming back there? So I'll go back to his regular way of life. And he tried to talk to him and convince him to stay, and it wasn't working. He tried to explain to him, chess tournament, as great as it is, if you realize what it is, if you have a life, a focus of Torah, the whole purpose of life is being lost if you don't go ahead and get the solid foundation that you can get now. It's way too early to leave. And it wasn't working. And this bacher was going back. So finally, Rav Noach Weinberg said to him, I'll make a deal with you. And this bacher obviously, had a tremendous respect for Rav Noach Weinberg, the yeshiva, and obviously he knows how much he helped him. He wasn't going to leave unless, yeshiva gave him permission, and said goodbye. So the yeshiva said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll play you a game of chess. If I win the game, then you stay in yeshiva. If you win the game, then you can go back. Imagine, the Noach Weinberg told his chess champion. So, the bacher said, for sure, no problem. Thought it was a great deal. And they sat down to a chess game. And you can imagine how intense it was. Every move that they were making. And like the Rav said over the Maisa that was by the Bar Mitzvah after he was saying it over, he said it was like a good hour into the game and literally really intense, every move, an hour and a half. Finally, Rav Noach Weinberg made a move, checkmate. And he won the game. And the Bachar said, fine, a deal's a deal. And Itaka stayed in yeshiva. Sometime later, the Bacher continues steiging, doing tremendously great. And sometime later, he says to the Rishiva, in a private moment, he says, I want to ask you, I'm a chess champion. I'm in the world tournament. I have a lot of experience. I don't understand, how did the Rishiva win me in chess? I mean, how often does the Rishiva play chess already? How do you win me in chess? Rav Noach Weinberg said to him, the game that I played you was my third time in my life playing chess. I played once when I was in eighth grade and one other time, and it's my third time playing chess. So the Bacher looked at him like, I don't understand. Like, how in the world, the third time playing chess and you won me? He said, the desire that I had that you remain in yeshiva was much more than your desire that you wanted to win the game. I had such a tremendous rutzon that you should be in yeshiva and continue on. And like Chazal tell us, nothing stands before rutzon. Rutzon breaks through everything. And that's how I was able to win. This is what Melech Weinberg told me. Can you imagine? Third time playing chess, and he won this champion. We have to realize, when we have a real rutzon to steig and grow and reach madregas of aliyah, b'tayrah, b'tfilah, and all the inyanim of our shkafa and the midas and everything we're here in yeshiva to grow in, if you have a real rutzon and a real bikush to reach and climb madregas on the ladder, nothing will stop you, no matter how much haskalos kashas you meet, no matter how many challenges and hardships you have to go through. You have to realize nothing stops a rutzon. If you have a tremendous rutzon, and Baruch Hashem, every bacha here in yeshiva, no question about it, if you came to this yeshiva, it's because you really want to steig, it's because you really want to grow and have an aliyah. And the mainly you have to realize, as long as you go ahead and nurture that rutzon, you nurture that bikush, you could keep that a fire lit, and I want to keep growing and keep climbing rung after the next, madrigas after madriga, you have to realize you could break through anything. I want to go through just the Seder Ayoyim, just so we have an idea. If we have extra time, we'll go back to another Maramakam or two. But first thing is, every morning, after Shachas, you're zeichet to have Halacha Seder. And you have to realize that Halacha Seder is something that's really tremendous. Rameir Grunenbaum, the Rebbe for Halacha Seder, is here devoted to help you with Halacha. You don't realize what it is. It's a gold mine. You know, many yeshivas don't have this. That you can sit and learn halacha with a Rebbe that's there to help you out. After a few years in yeshiva, you can walk out with mamish knowing halacha. It's such a tremendous thing. You know, I heard a story, it's a true story. There was a bachar that learned here that was in Eretz Yisrael. He was eating by some... In Eretz Yisrael, there was a bachar learning, you know, after he left here. And he was eating by some, you know, younger man or whatever it was. And a shiloh came up in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, while he was there. And the young man said, I don't know, like, you know, his wife didn't know, he didn't know, and like, they didn't know what to do. And this bachar said, I'll tell you what the answer is. And he right away on the spot, like, you know, told him what the halacha was. And his young man was like so impressed, like, hello, how do you know that? I just learned it by halacha seder, you know? He should be the baratayra, you know? It was like, pashatim, like, what's the big deal? You have to realize that the regular world out there don't know halacha, because they just don't spend time learning halacha. It's such an opportunity. You spend a few years in yeshiva and you have a serious halacha seder. Rameir Grunenbaum every Friday gives a shiur on the halacha that you're learning the whole week. So after a whole week of learning halacha, then on Friday you have a practical shiur on the halacha. You can really walk away with such being such a Talmud Chacham in simple halacha that a lot of people out there don't know. You can really walk away as a Talmud Chacham just from shtolim so properly to halacha seder. So as much as it's hard, it's in the morning, and whatever, it's starting the day, you have to realize it's a tremendous opportunity. And if the breakfast is first Seder, first Seder, you should know, give out my Mekaymas papers. And there's no rush that you have to finish the paper. You have to realize, you sort of learn on according to what you're able to do. I have in mind, I have that cheshbon that not always we finish the paper. Sometimes one paper lasts for 2 days. If you go a little faster, I always put Tosefes my Mekaymas, added stuff that you could do in case you have extra time. You don't have to get through the added stuff, the Tosefes, the added stuff. But the point is that you learn at your pace, get things good. It's not just you're reading, you know, the Hamadiyah. You have to learn it through. You're learning Mishaynim, you're learning Gemara, you're learning Achrayim. Whatever you're learning, you have to get it well. It's not just to race through the paper and just read the article. It's not what it is. That's learning first Seder with the Mamar Kaimis and all that. At 12:30 usually is a shiur. Once a week, depending, it fluctuates which day, depending, you know, where we're holding, if the island's ready for shir or not. But usually, you know, the way sugyas usually work, there's usually a day that the island's not so prepared for shir yet, so we're going to push up shir to the next day, and that day we usually have a shir, you know, a shmooze, a Shir and Hashkafa, we try to go through the foundations, Yisayid Zachayim, that after a whole year of Shmuzim, you can really walk away very rich in Hashkafa Zachayim, and foundations for life, to mamash lead you for the rest of your life. And that's why it's Kedai, the same way you're going to take notes in Shir, it's Kedai always to have paper or notebook for Shmuzim also, because after a whole year, you can have a whole notebook of really Gvaldika Hashkafa Zachayim with all the marmakimas of different places that if ever in your life you need to know foundations, you could always look back. It's a tremendous thing to go ahead and take notes in it also, not just, you know, listening. You can walk away with something. Hakapanam, that's once a week usually. And the other days at 12:30 is Shir. 1:20 till 3:30 is Vedas Dharam and is Mincha. And go second Seder, which also is Mamar Kaimis, Baruch Hashem, Gvaldika, Seder, with Rabbi Lef, Yitzhak Lef, second Seder Rabbi, and Baruch Hashem, there's Chaburis, I think, twice a week usually, Gvaldika, second Seder Limud, to help you also grow in Shtai. Then at 6:30 is supper till 7:45. And at 7:45, that's when we have Chazor Hashir. So usually, I come back at 7:45 and we chaz a shir, which is today to talk about what chazar shir is for a moment. Chazar shir is not just reading your notes and just, you know, parroting back. Rebbe said this is shir, that is shir, blah, 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 blah. That's not what shir is about. That's not what chazar shir is about. Chazar shir is to relearn the sugya with shir to get it correctly, and that's how you're really going to shtar. Which means you don't just parrot back and just read over what we said. Because that's not putting it into your bloodstream. But if you relearn everything the proper way of how we put it all together in Shir, and then you get a new look at it, that's how it's going to go into your bloodstream, and that you're going to really shtaik a new madrega in learning. If you just read it like, you know, you read the Ami magazine, it's not going to go in. So that's, Chazor Shir has to be that you're really learning it through properly. The days that we have a shmooze and there is no Shir, so then at 7:45 we just go further than the Mar Makaymas. I come back also, obviously, but instead of Chazor Hashir, we just go through, continue first Seder with the Mamar Kaimas that you had from first Seder. That's what will happen today. So that's 7:45, Chazor Hashir, till 9:05. And then we have Musa Seder. 9:05 is Musa Seder till Ma'ariv at 9:30. So Musa Seder, either you could make yourself your own Chavrusa, you find yourself your own Chavrusa if you want to learn with a Chavrusa. Some Bacharim like to learn themselves. So you can learn yourself Musa Seder if you'd like. Whatever it is, Musa Seder is a very important time, which I think it's Kedai to speak about for a moment. We have to realize the opportunity of Musa Seder. To shteig and grow, it can't happen without Musa. You can't just, you know, although out there in the world, Lav Dafka is Musa, out there in the world, Musa Sedarim, and many yeshivas, almost come out, doesn't exist. But you have to realize the value of a Musa Seder. You know, it's a Pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikolodon wrote, HaChazek BaMusar, Al Teref, strengthen yourself in Musar, don't weaken up. Nitzreha, watch it carefully, the Musar. Ki hi chayecha, it's your life. The Vilna Gaon explains this Pasuk in Mishlei and says, Achoyiz es HaMusar, hold on stark to Musar. To chazik is atzmucha, strengthen yourself, but Musar. Al teref, don't weaken up, afilu shachas, even for a moment. Every day of Musar Seder is so important. Ki hi chayecha, it's your life. Ki masha odom chay, your whole purpose of living is kidei lishbor hamidas, to break your midas. Vilchein tzarech tamilis chazik, you have to constantly be growing and strengthening yourself. If you're not strengthening yourself and refining yourself, refining your character trait, why are you alive? This is the Vilna Gaon telling us how important it is to learn Musar. Every one of us have the opportunity every day to sit down with a seriousness by Musa Seder, to reflect in your own personal life, where you're holding with your midas, identify where you're short, and, you know, when you're weak in a certain midah, whether you get angry too quickly, whether you're too lazy, all the different midas rois that exist, the list goes on and on. You have to use your own imagination and your own cheshbon hanefesh, and his boldness to look at yourself, to get to know yourself, to find where you want to work on, to get refined, to correct yourself, to make yourself better. And Elulzman is a special Indian to learn Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yoina, because it's Elul, Rosh Hashanah's coming, we have to work on Tshuva in general. But the point being is that Musa said there's a tremendous opportunity. A bocher who shtelt suit to it properly could grow so much from Musa said. There's such an opportunity to becoming a refined individual. Obviously, a person could abuse it and not do much by Musa Seder. And that's Rahman al-Tzlan, you're losing out so much. Imam is throwing away such an opportunity. It's something we should take with a seriousness, Musa Seder. Now, I so brought down from the Chassam Sofer that in Minhag Chassam Sofer it's written that every day the Chassam Sofer, before he started his shir, he used to learn with the Bacham Chayvus al-Avavus. Imam is mar every day to make sure to have a Seder Chayvus al-Avavus. He used to learn with the Bacham together. And he said about himself, he said, Taminu li, believe me, b'yoyim she'ein ani loymit musar, a day that I don't learn musar, margish ani ba'atzmi tzdanus b'yirish Hashem. I find a coldness in Yirish Shemayim in my life. Can you imagine Chassam Sofer saying that about himself? And he's not lying. Chassam Sofer was an emes d'kayid. Chassam Sofer said about himself that a day that he skipped musar, he felt different. He cooled off in his whole Yirish Shemayim. He was a different person. And the day that he learned Musa, he felt differently. So we have to realize that Chassam Sofer can say that about himself. How much more so for us, on our level, how much we need to learn Musa every day, take it seriously, focus. That's how we're going to shtag, that's how we're going to grow. Like the Pasuk here in Mishlei is saying, Ki hi chayecha, it's your life. And lastly, if the Musa, and there's Mayiv at 9:30, for the last hour of the day, from 9:50 to 10:50, is Bekiyas Seder. The Bekiyas Seder, you learn just Gemara Rashi with the Chavrusa, which is also very important. That's how you can be Zeicha, to get familiar with more Gemaras all around Shas. You know, now we're learning above Metziyas, get to know all the Gemaras above Metziyah. And at times, a person who's, you know, a person who puts an extra time, Ben Hasdarim also, could even finish a Masechta. Metziyah is large, but it's possible to finish over the long winter's man. So, Akopanim, it's a Gevaldika Tayelas. Even if you're not finishing the Masechta, just get to know Gemaras. Bekiyas Seder is an important Seder. You have to learn up during the day. First Seder, second Seder, we learn slower to learn how to learn. That's what we're learning Be'iyun. But then it's also important to know Blot and to know Gemaras. And that's where Bekiyas Seder comes in, which is very important. And it's something we have to take with a seriousness also. And 10:50, then the day, that's the day's over. But I'd like to speak out, you should know, that it's important to realize that going to sleep on time is really the beginning of your day. Your day doesn't start in the morning when you wake up. The day starts in how you went to sleep the night before. It's very meduyik in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about the Seder of Brachas, he starts with a mapel. Why does he start with a mapel? Either start with Mayriv or start with the next morning. Where does a mapel come in? And the answer is because going to sleep at night is the beginning of your day. This is what the story that we have. And something we see with our own eyes, that when we go to sleep late, we have trouble functioning, we have trouble being alert and awake, whether awake during Sdarim or awake during Shir, whatever it is, you have trouble being awake. But if you go to sleep early enough, and you get a good night's sleep, it's a whole different day ahead of you. So Mela, we have to realize the importance that Baruch Hashem, a mature Bachram, is no dorm counselor, but you're your own Mashkiach. You have to be your own Mashkiach, to be mature, and to go make sure you close the light and get to bed at a normal hour, that you should go ahead and ensure that you're going to have the following day with a lot of kaychas, awake, and with strength. So Mela, it's definitely a kedai to speak this point out, that when we're talking about the Seyda Ayoyim, part of the Seyda Ayoyim is to make sure you go to bed at a normal hour. Elul Shetaka be very matzliach in this new askala. I'm here for every bachar, anything a bachar needs, available. If you need to talk about anything privately, come over, I'll make time for you. And anything else, Beis Hashem, I'm going to give out a paper, and I'd like to make a Seder with every Bachar for 10 minutes once a week, that we can make up a private Chavrusa Shaf to learn whatever you'd like. once a week. We'll give it, you know, a couple of days. I'll give out that paper. Then we'll fill it out to figure out which part of the day you want to do it. But once a week, have a 10-minute Seder. And in general, I'm here for the Bachram, whatever, anything you need, any guidance and anything, I'm available. We'll make time and talk to you. And I'll shtaka b'zeicha to matzliach, mechayel, chayel. Shtaka, see you grow, b'tayev avodah.